The issue for me often when we talk about faith is that it's only five letters, but it's a huge word. And what does it actually mean? And so that's what we're going to be looking at today by looking at Hebrews 11. And so again, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And what the author of Hebrews does is then goes through and gives all sorts of examples of faith to try and unpack what that simple definition means. So if you move down to verse 6 of chapter 11, the author writes, "Whoever would approach God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." That's faith. If you don't believe God exists, you're not going to approach him, right? So whoever approaches God must believe that he exists. That's faith. In verse 7, he starts talking about Noah, that Noah was warned by God about events as yet unseen, but respected the warning and built an ark. He had faith that what he had heard was actually from God and was true, and so he built an ark. Then if we jump down a few more verses to verse 10, and we've moved into Abraham. Hebrews really loves Abraham. He gets a lot of words. In verse 10, Abraham, who left home not knowing where he was going, and then stayed for a time as a nomad, just because of somebody wandering around living in tents, as did his child and then his grandchild. And then it says this, "For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." He's talking about the kingdom of God there. He's saying that Abraham was willing to move out to a place he didn't even know where it was going to be. He was willing to live as just kind of a wandering nomad, because he trusted that there was this city. He had faith in this city that God was building. When we go down to verse 13, we read, "All of these died in faith without having received the promises." That, I think, is a really important thing. I want you to hold on to that if you can in your head as we're going through this. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is not the assurance that you'll actually see the things that you're hoping for. I think that that's really important, that in all the examples that Hebrews gives, all the Old Testament examples, and we're going to look at some more, that all of these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance, they saw and greeted them. Their faith allowed them to see what God was doing way over there, or way in the future, or at some untold time in eternity. And even though they didn't experience it in the here and now, their faith allowed them to see it. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. They desire a better homeland, that is, a heavenly one. Hebrews here, the author is talking about the kingdom of God. He's saying they had this image, this vision of God's kingdom, of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, as the Lord's Prayer puts it. And that is what their faith gave them. That is what inspired them to their faith. And then in verse 23, it moves down, "By faith, Moses," and all the things that Moses did by faith. And then that's what gets us to verse 29, which is where Keith has started reading. Now, I'm using a different version than Keith did, and I think that's always a really great thing that we hear from different versions of Scripture. The version I'm using is the same as what's in these red Bibles that are out here in the church. So verse 29, we're going to start going a little bit more slowly for this. "By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned." I want to point out something here that I love about this. So often we talk about Moses and how he had faith in God, and so he parted the Red Sea so the people could walk through. I remember reading, I can't even remember who it was, sometime, and I remember that this person said, "You know, I get that Moses had faith to part the Red Sea. The person who impresses me the most was the first person who actually stepped in to that dry ground, trusting that the waves weren't going to come crashing down on top of them as soon as they stepped in. That took more courage, more faith than even the parting of the sea." And what I love is that that seems to fit what Hebrews is saying here. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. That they were able to pass through trusting, having faith that the waters would stay. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. They didn't have the faith. They were drowned in it. And then he goes on, by the By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they'd been encircled for 7 days. You might remember that story. It's a popular Sunday school story. It's a great one to get kids to act out. It's the first city that the people of Israel conquered when they crossed into the promised land. So they'd been wandering for a generation. They'd been wandering in the wilderness after escaping from Egypt. And it was finally time for them to cross into the promised land. And the first city that they encountered was the city of Jericho that had these extraordinary walls protecting. And what they did is they marched around 7 times and they would blow their trumpets. And they did this for 7 days. And then the miracle is that then the walls all came tumbling down and they conquered the city. The story begins, though, by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. Before they went to the city, Joshua, who was kind of leading Israel at the time, he sent spies to check out the lay of the land. And they went to Rahab, who was a prostitute, who was like these strange men could go in and out of a prostitute's house. And she welcomed them in and she hid them. So when the powers that be came searching for, oh, we know some spies have come in, she hid them. She protected them and she helped them escape when night had fallen and after the gates had closed. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. Great story if you want to read that story. It's in Joshua 2 is where that whole story starts. I would go home and read it. It's extraordinary. One of the things it reminds us of is that God invites all of us to be about his business. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be pure and holy and have all of these things that we sometimes build up. He uses and he invites everybody to be part of what he's doing. And it goes on, and what more should I say? So he's given all of these examples, and now he's just going to start rhyming off, boom, 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 all these different people. What more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Gideon is one of my favorites in the Old Testament. Gideon was part of the people of Israel, and the enemies were invading, and Gideon was not one of those who stood up and took a sword and went charging into battle. He went into hiding and he hid, and an angel met him where he was hiding and greeted him and called him to lead in battle and in war. And it's an extraordinary story. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, all of these people, Google them and read their stories, who through faith, all the things they did, who through faith, they conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. They obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, made mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured. And here's where we have a flip that happens. So first what the author does is he says there's all these people, there's story after story after story in our history of all of these people of faith who accomplished extraordinary, amazing things, who conquered kingdoms, who escaped the edge of the sword, the dead were raised to life, all of these amazing things. And one of the things I appreciate about this author is he's not saying, man, if you had faith, you would do all of these amazing things, because that would leave those of us who don't do amazing things going, well, I guess I don't have enough faith. But then he goes on and he flips it and he says, others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. In other words, they continued to be tortured. They didn't just give in. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, torment, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. What the author here is doing is he's taken us out of just the Old Testament, out of the scriptures, and he's taken them into their day-to-day life. He's taken them to things that people that they maybe know are facing, that some people that they know or that they've heard of, or that, you know, a friend of a friend has been imprisoned and flogged, sawn in two, maybe all of these horrendous things that happen to these people of faith. And it's by faith that they were able to, I was going to say live through it, but many of them didn't live through it. But it's by faith that they were able to not give in to it. It's by faith that they were able to hold strong to Jesus in the midst of it. See, faith doesn't mean everything's going to work out, you know, for me. If I just hold on long enough, it's all going to get better. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes it just leads to death. That's the reality. What faith is, remember what that definition of faith is from Hebrews 1:1? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What allowed them to endure the sufferings, the torment, the persecutions that they faced was that they had an assurance. They hoped for a different kind of a future. They hoped for the kingdom of God kind of future. They hoped for something that they weren't even going to see. Again, looking back at all of these in verse 13 of Hebrews, where we read, all of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. How many of us have that kind of faith that we see, but we don't receive? In verse 39 of Hebrews 11, yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. God is still at work doing what he's doing, which is establishing the kingdom of God here on earth. Those who have gone before, those who had suffered and been persecuted for their faith and in their faith, they didn't receive what was promised, the kingdom of God, because it's God's will that all of us, all who have come after, all who were not people of faith, would also be part of that. And they had the faith to continue going without realizing those promises in their lifetime. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. These people did what they did because they believed God was about something bigger than just them, and they wanted to be part of it. They weren't satisfied to just go about their own life. They knew that God was about establishing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and they wanted to be part of it. When we talk about being a follower of Jesus, that's what it is. It's being part of this extraordinary thing that God is doing, establishing his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, some of us might be going, oh, but all those examples, they're huge, and I don't have the time, I don't have the energy to, you know, go to battle or be fed to the lions or any of those kind of things. I just have my little life right here. I want to take a little bit of time for us to bring this whole question of faith into our experience and into our lives, because I think we can look at this hall of heroes from the Old Testament and from Christian history, and we can look at this and we can be overwhelmed. We can admire their heroes, we can admire, but we can also be overwhelmed and not see ourselves as having a place in that portrait, in that hall of heroes, in these amazing people from history. But all that these people did was follow God, or follow Jesus to the best of their ability, empowered by the Holy Spirit, believing that whatever things looked like in the here and now, God was about the business of establishing his kingdom, and they wanted to be part of it. And I've been thinking, I asked this in my Looking to Sunday article, I asked who you admire, who you look up to as people of faith. And I want us to come back to that. And I want to invite us, in a moment, I'm going to give you a couple minutes just to think about this and to think about somebody who you know, somebody who's been in your own life, not somebody way out there who you've heard of, somebody that you've actually experienced, somebody that you know who is a person of faith like this, somebody who does the things that they do, who's about the business of God, not because they're realizing the end result, the kingdom of God here and now, but because they have faith, they have the assurance of the thing that's hoped for, the conviction of those things unseen, God's kingdom here on earth. And I want to start by talking about Barb, who most of you knew. And I'm talking about Barb partly because I wasn't able to be at her memorial and didn't get to talk about Barb, but also because I'm in process of editing and working on the video that was made of that memorial service. So she's very fresh in my mind and what others have said about her. And one of the things that I want to say, the thing that I want to talk about Barb, is Barb was a prayer. Barb prayed for people. I know that Barb prayed for me, from the moment Barb met me that Barb prayed regularly and consistently for me. Barb had no way of knowing how her prayers were being answered by God, if her prayers were being answered by God, any difference that those prayers might be having in my life, but she prayed day after day after day consistently. There was a man who shared who'd known Barb for decades, worked with her at InterVarsity. And one of the things he shared was that there was one day when Barb said to him in the office they were sharing that she had started praying for him every single day. And he said this happened sometime in the 1980s and that she had been praying for him every day from that point until the day she died. And he looks and he sees how that prayer impacted his life, how he's sure that it impacted his life. For me, this is a person of faith. It's not lions. It's not being sawn in two. It's not being imprisoned. And it's not being sent away from your home to a land that you don't even know to live as a nomad somewhere. It's not those kind of great big extraordinary things. But I would say by faith, Barb prayed daily for us, for many of us in this room. And she prayed with the assurance of things hoped for, that God actually was there listening to her prayers, responding to her prayers, caring about the things that she prayed for, the conviction of things unseen, that she had absolute conviction. She was certain that God was listening, that God was responding. Whether she could see it or hear it or feel it, she had that conviction. And that's what it means to be a person of faith. And I wonder who you have. I'm sorry if you were going to choose Barb. You can use her as well as a person of faith if you want to use her as your example. But I want to just give you a minute or two of just quiet to invite you to think about this question of who have you known in your life who fits this definition of faith? Somebody who did what they did because they believed that God was about something bigger, was about his kingdom work, and they wanted to be part of it. Somebody who had that assurance of things hoped for, that conviction of things unseen. And so just take a minute or two if you want to jot things down in your bulletin or whatever, or just think, and then I'm going to open it up and invite you to share your experiences. But we'll give you a minute to think. I'm going to encourage you this week to keep an eye out for people of faith that you might meet. They're often very unassuming. They often don't. It's not a big flashing sign. Look at me, I'm a person of faith. Keep your eye out for those examples of people who have faith, who have assurance of things that are hoped for, conviction of things that are unseen, people who are acting as if the kingdom of God really is here and really is coming, even when there doesn't seem to be any evidence whatsoever. Keep an eye out. Ask God to reveal for you. And then hear these words that this passage moves into chapter 12, where we read, therefore, so after all of these examples of faith, after all of these people who have had assurance, who have been convicted, who have suffered and who have celebrated, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I love that idea of being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. When I come into this place for our worship services, and I'm aware that we're not a very big group, but I have this idea in my head that in this space is this great cloud of witnesses, 130 years of people of faith who called Walmer home, who have also breathed this air, who have walked on these floors, who have been in this space, that we are part of this great cloud of witnesses. Since that, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, that we all have our own journey. We all have our own path, our own challenges that God puts in front of us, that life puts in front of us. It's just as all of these people in faith lived their lives and met the challenges that came, so may we, the author is saying, let us do the same. Let us also run the race with perseverance, just sticking to it that's before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. We're running this race, but our eyes, Jesus is ahead of us. Jesus has already run and won this race. And so that's where our eyes stay focused. That's really what it means to be a follower of Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus is to be a person of faith, trusting that as we follow Jesus, as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, running whatever the race is that we find ourselves in, that's all it is. That's all it means to be a person of faith, to be a follower of Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a hymn out there that is one of the greats, written back in the late-ish 1800s, and it often shows up at funerals because of the words and how powerful it is. It often brings people to tears as they're singing it, listening to it, because it carries so much truth in it. And it's a song that is really about, took faith to write. So the person who wrote the song is a man named Horatio Spafford. And the song is called "It Is Well With My Soul." He was a successful, in the mid-1800s, he was a successful American lawyer and businessman. He had a wife, he had five kids, he had a great law practice and business. And then in 1871, one of his kids, his only son of five kids, died of pneumonia. At the same time, within months, there was a huge fire. He lived in Chicago. There was a huge fire in Chicago, and he lost most of his business. He lost almost everything. And then 2 years later, in 1873, his wife and his remaining four children got on a boat, and they were sailing from the U.S. to Europe. That was the only way you got to Europe in those days. The boat crashed into another boat, and all four of his children died. They all drowned. His wife survived, and with as quick as he could, Horatio Spafford got on a boat to go meet her in Europe where she was recovering. And while they were traveling across the ocean, the captain at one point let him know when they were over the spot where the other boat had gone down. And as the story is told, that this hymn was written on that journey across the ocean by this man who had lost so, so, so much. And he was able to write these words, "It is well with my soul." And you can hear them, you can sing them, whatever you want to do as we sing this. But I think that his ability to pen these words speaks of the same kind of faith as had all of those Hebrews 11 people, all the people we can imagine. He's another example of a person of extraordinary strength and of extraordinary faith.